steps up, delivers over the middle, intercepted by who else but Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see him back over with Telvin and Rashad and play with Dante and just, you know, bring Jacksonville back to the top. I'm so excited.
My feeling is I think he's going to be even a better pro than he was a college player.
With the fifth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Jalen Ramsey, defensive back, Florida State.
Right after Dallas' pick went in, like no more than a minute later, my phone started ringing. I saw 904 immediately. I picked the phone up so quick, I didn't even let it get through the first ring.
I love my visit there and love spending time with him. And this young defense, you know, is turning up with Telvin and Fowler. He's going to be able to play this year, myself and Prince back there in the secondary. I honestly just cannot wait to play for the Jaguars. Duval!
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Ryan O'Halloran.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. I hope it's a happy Thursday for you as we kick off Week 10 in the National Football League tonight. Cleveland and Baltimore. We got the Jags and the Texans this weekend. Four teams on a bye. And we'll talk today with John Harris. He's a Texan sideline reporter. He's coming up in about 35 minutes or so. We'll get the lowdown on where things stand and if they are about on the pace they thought they'd be this season, a little bit ahead or a little bit behind. Ryan, how are you?
Good.
Good week so far?
Yeah. A couple things coming together.
What's been the mood of the locker room that you've noticed?
It's another week. The offensive guys got a little bit more bounce in their step because they actually gained some yards. Defensive guys, they're the ones at this point bringing it up. Got to create turnover. Right now they're at four straight games, which is a franchise record. And they're one game away from tying an NFL record with five other teams for five straight games. So, and you can only – the scary part for this defense right now is outside the Amukamara-Gibson collision, you can't come up with a lot of other missed golden
near misses, right. So, it's funny. JP came in here, and he was talking about a play in the game. He goes, hey, was there a play that I missed that Telvin almost had an interception? And because I think Todd Wash was talking about it, and he said the soundbite was really good. And we recalled it was the one where it was a nice pass break. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't a near interception. He was reaching out with his hand and was able to bat a pass down.
That was a Jaguars defensive player touching a football.
That was a good play. I'm not knocking him. I'm not criticizing Telvin on the play. It was an excellent play to make. It wasn't a near interception, you know. And that's like, man, it's like Tony said, those instances, you can count on your own hand, single hand, how many times the defensive players get their hands on the ball.
Yeah, and you know they're aware that Houston is coming off a bye, that Osweiler's threw some interceptions, but also they have a very good running back. And then you flip it on offense, it's weird being in a locker room for a Houston week and not having to ask about J.J. Watt. So that's a change, but they still have a lot of good players on defense. And you know, if you're Houston, you're looking at this game, okay, we're 0-3 on the road. We've been blown out three times. We played three pretty good teams. Now it's a chance to really get going. And let's face it, put a stranglehold on this division. They go 6-3. Indianapolis, who do they play? Are they on a bye?
Colts are on a bye.
Yeah, they'd be 4-5, so then I have a nice little two-game cushion going into the last 7 weeks of the season.
All right. What was the reason the running game was so effective this past week?
The knee-jerk reaction would be you saw guys maintaining their blocks. If they introduced nine new running plays, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. The one thing I wrote about this a little bit for tomorrow's paper is they ran a lot out of three receiver. I think they ran 25 times out of that formation, and usually this is a base offense that's two tight ends, two receivers. So I think what the plan was is just give these guys some room to run so in case they have to change course, they have some seams and some creases to go there. So that, and also Chris Ivory looked like the guy that they thought they were getting in terms of hitting the hole, running over guys. And, you know, everybody says, well, Nate Hackett was more committed to the run. Well, you can when you get 9 yards on first down.
Right.
That makes it easier.
Right.
When you're
chunks.
Yeah, and you get 13 on first and 10, and you stay out a second and long. So you know, you're going to look smarter, any play caller is, when you are running it like they did.
Was there an angle in the stadium? Did they show something that looked like it was pretty definitive that Chris Ivory scored?
Gus, you know, this was on Monday. In the stadium, no.
There wasn't? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see one. Gus was referring to the coach's tape.
Okay, I got you.
And in the end zone, coach's tape at Arrowhead is at that end, so it's looking right down on the play. You could probably it was a great view because it wasn't obstructed. If they would have had that view in New York and they ruled it on the field of fumble, they probably wouldn't have.
That's like the all 22.
It is all 22.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I watched it on my big screen the other night, and it was much more. It was much more clear. There wasn't any bodies in the way, but I don't think it would have impacted. It wouldn't have been evidence enough to overturn the call in the field.
Maybe if they could have combined it with down the goal line, like if they had been able to freeze for him at the same time, mm-hmm. maybe that gives him enough of a look to say, yeah, he's holding onto the ball at that point. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. We'll never know when everything is said and done. You were mentioning the success running on first down. I actually went through the numbers yesterday. I included the Bortles basically scramble rushes on first down too, but they rushed 19 times on first down for basically 7 yards a carry in the game against Kansas City. And even if you took out the 42-yarder for Chris Ivory, which was on a first down, that was 18, and they averaged 5 yards a carry in the game. So they were really, really good early, and that's not something they've been really for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I try to remember what they were before the game on first and 10 runs. I mean, maybe it was like 3.5. Something like that. They couldn't, you know, they were staying ahead of the chains because they weren't losing yards. But and one thing Gus pointed out and likes to point out about a running game is it impacts their play action. They had 10 passes that went at least 16 yards downfield with Bortles. That was a season high. Next step is you got to complete more of those. He should have had 6 completions, 2 bad throws and a bad drop. So what you saw was a pulse on offense, but, and it's a big but because it was a game-changing but, can't turn it over. Bad interception. Yeldon got popped pretty good on that fumble, and then the Ivory fumble is inexcusable.
All right, Ryan O'Halloran's in the house with us from the Florida Times Union. We'll talk Jaguars with you over the next 2 hours. You're welcome to be part of the conversation at 641-1010. That's both the phone number and the text line driven by Duval Ford. Social media question of the day. Got a couple of them out there. Only one of them directly having to do with the show, however. I got a little.
Where's the nearest Verizon so Mike can burn it down?
No. Well, I'm not. Look, I do not commit acts of terrorism. However, and I'm going off the top of my head here. Since it's obvious Verizon sucks, who should I drop them for? Which carrier should I drop them for? Your choices were Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T, or other. And if you choose other, just tell me who the other one is because they're getting dropped like a hot rock. And the FCC, we got to take a break. If you don't want to hear about how bad Verizon sucks, you may want to skip the next segment, okay? If you do, stick around.
Just stick around for the entertainment value.
Either way, right? As somebody tweeted this morning, he goes, I'm not tuning in for Jaguar talk this morning. I'm tuning in to see Verizon get torched. It's coming, okay? It is coming. So the actual social media question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. This is going off of something Duval Doom discussed with us yesterday. He is going to the game. He's a season ticket holder. I'm a season ticket holder. I don't know if my wife's going. I got to figure out. I should have thought about this earlier. I might have been able to give away a pair of tickets today, but maybe I'll do that tomorrow if she's not going to go. But if you have tickets already, whether you're a season ticket holder, I assume if you're a single game purchaser, you're going. But if you're a season ticket holder, I guess this would be most applicable to you. And I think a lot of those folks are out there on Twitter. Are you going to the game or not? And if not, why? Or if you are, why? Just, you know, what's your rationale? Look, you don't need a rationale to go to the game. You bought the ticket. You're a Jaguar fan. I get that. But for different people, they're going for different reasons. Others are not going because they kind of want to protest the level of play, what they've seen, dissatisfaction with the coaching staff, whatever the case may be. So just trying to get a little bit of a pulse from our little Twitter community here of if you already have a ticket, what are you planning to do with that ticket this weekend? You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter, also at 1010XL Tyler. Tyler, big thanks for helping me put together all those Verizon tweets yesterday. A nice one, nice little concise package there. You can check out my full rant I shared on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, as well as my own personal one as well. And it's even worse. I posted that last night, and the details are even worse this morning, but we'll get into that coming up. Jaguars Today rolls on this Thursday. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's a Farrah and Farrah Thursday on Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field. True Teal. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Visit 1010XL.com today and enter the Sticky Fingers Ultimate Tailgate.
Come join the fun.
Win great tasting barbecue from Sticky Fingers and cool swag from Bud Light to kickstart your next tailgate.
Let's do this!
Go to 1010XL.com now. This Florida State Seminoles report on 1010XL 92.5 FM is brought to you by Performance Painting, quality coatings applied with pride.
When Florida State wrapped up a victory over NC State, the Noles secured its sixth victory of the season, clinching bowl eligibility. It's the nation's longest active bowl streak and now sits at 35 consecutive seasons. The last season FSU did not qualify for a bowl was in 1981, Bobby Bowden's sixth year of coaching the Noles.
Are you looking to be a part of a company where you feel respected and your efforts will be recognized? Jason Parker here with Performance Painting. We're hiring professional painters and trainees who are friendly and have an eagerness to learn and grow. If you don't take yourself too seriously, but do take your profession seriously, you're likely to be a good fit here. Great pay, paid time off, medical, dental, and a company-matched 401k are just a few of the benefits waiting for you at Performance Painting. Go to performance-painting.com. Performance Painting, quality coatings applied with pride.
Football season is awesome, and the Blue Typhoon is the place to see all your favorite college and NFL games on their huge number of HDTVs. Come by car or boat on the Intercoastal Waterway at Beach Marine. Blue Typhoon has delicious fresh seafood, juicy burgers, and ice-cold beer. Watch your game inside at the sports bar or outside on the largest deck on the Intercoastal Waterway. And November 12th, come watch the UFC 205, Alvarez versus McGregor at Blue Typhoon.
Metro Rooter, you've probably heard of us. It's no accident that by providing same-day service, professional technicians, and the right equipment, hundreds of businesses count on us every week to keep their drains draining, their plumbing functioning, and their pumps pumping. I'm Tom McLaughlin, CEO of Metro Rooter. And if you are a current customer of ours, I want to thank you for your continued confidence in Metro Rooter. If you'd like to contact Metro Rooter, the plumbing service you can trust, we're on the web at metrorooter.com or just call 695-1911. Thank you.
Save 20% on all new Ram trucks during Ram Power Days at Beck Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Palatka, the home of 20% off all new Ram trucks. Yep, all of them. Buy one now and we'll give you a Yeti cooler. It's hunting season. At Beck, we'll make it worth your drive. That's how we do it, small town style. Visit BeckChrysler.com for your next vehicle and experience the Check Beck difference. Come see us on Highway 17, Palatka. Beck Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. We're your dealer for life.
Finding the right auto part means one thing, a quick call to Rusty Acres. With thousands of Ford, Mercury, or Lincoln auto parts on hand, Rusty Acres can deliver it fast. Remember this number, 786-1777. Rusty Acres,
the official station of Gator Nation. 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Divorce, menonly.com. This is Kenny Lay of Kenny Lay & Associates. Our firm specializes in representing men in family law. That's all we do. That's our only focus. We can help with all of your family law needs, such as divorce, custody, alimony, and child support. For over a decade, we have helped thousands of men with these types of issues. We even have an appellate division ready to challenge a judge's ruling. If you need a family law attorney, go to divorcemenonly.com. Divorcemenonly.com. Offices, Jacksonville.
Here's a good money-saving tip. High-flying Jack O'Brien here, and if you go to the usapark.net website, you can print out a $2 a day coupon. You can use it for 5 days. That's a huge money saver. Online at usapark.net.
Hey guys, it's Lauren Brooks. Want to join me and the ladies of Helmets and Heels during a live broadcast? Tuesday, we'll be live on location inside the Dreamfinders Home Stadium home at EverBank Field. Catered with food and drinks, you and your guests will enjoy a VIP viewing of our broadcast from 7 to 9 p.m. Go to 1010XL.com right now, click on our front splash page, and register for a chance to win. Helmets and Heels live from Dreamfinders Home Stadium Home, Tuesday, November 15th.
With family and friends coming over for the holiday season, there's just not enough time to get everything done. Hey guys, it's Donna Murphy from Helmets and Heels. Let Zerez help you this season. Zerez will clean your carpets, tile and grout, furniture, area rugs, whatever your home needs, you'll love their work. Zerez has a patented soap-free system that doesn't flood your carpet and doesn't leave any dirt attracting residue. This means your carpets will stay cleaner longer. The holidays are coming around fast, so book Zerez today. Call now and tell them that 1010 XL sent you. Get your carpets cleaned for only $43 per room. Did you hear me? $43 per room. Now at that price, you should get the whole house cleaned. Call Zerez now before they are all booked up. 287-5727. That's 287-5727. Servicing Jacksonville, Palm Coast, and Daytona Beach. Zerez, spelled backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean.
Guys, let's face it, you snore way too loud. You wake up your wives and we wind up sleeping in another room. So we're both exhausted and irritated in the morning. Hi, this is Lisa McCall and I'm married to Dr. James McCall, a dentist on the south side of Jacksonville. My husband snored for years until he was fitted for a custom-made snore appliance. It has been life-changing. Now we both get a quality night's sleep and are ready to take on the day. If you're a chronic snorer, give my husband a call at 620-9225 for your free consultation for a custom-made snore appliance. That number again is 620-9225.
Helmets and Heels will be live inside the Dream Finder Stadium home at Everbank Field on Tuesday, November 15th. Visit 1010XL.com now to join us for a catered Dream Finders tour and a VIP viewing of the Helmets and Heels broadcast from 7 to 9 p.m.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
They'll move guys around a little bit, but I mean, they're very talented. Clowney's really come on. I think when you watch him on tape, you feel like, you know, he's playing very good against the run, very good against the pass. That's a guy, you know, they're starting to see a lot who they drafted that high. They're very talented up front, and they're picking up, I think, where they left off.
Clowney has played better this year. He's having the best year so far of his career. Ryan O'Howen, you didn't need to run back to the microphone, man. You could take a breath here.
Oh, I'm about to unleash. That's your time.
I'm about to unleash, but overall, from what you've gathered and taking a look at the Texans, I don't know how deep you've gotten into it. How much has the absence of J.J. Watt affected them?
Well, teams don't have the game plan for any of these guys. You know, they could be with Watt. You know, the Texans revolve their plan around him, moving him around. You know, teams have to chip and double team him. You know, now it's you know, they still have a lot of talent, but one thing Blake Bortles pointed out yesterday that was interesting, he thinks that they're pressuring a little less than usual, playing more coverage. And because the first four times the Texans have faced Bortles, they blitzed 30% of the time. I mean, he threw everything at him, and he struggled, been sacked a lot. But judging by how their numbers are on pass defense, it looks like they're tackling the catch because they only have three interceptions, but they're second fewest passing yards allowed. So they're good on third down, and they're not giving up a lot of big plays in the pass game. So I don't know if it's more of a bend but don't break, but they're not leaning on just one guy.
All right, we can get into that a little bit more as we go along today. 6-4-1-10-10. We got plenty of audio coming up from Gus Bradley, Todd Wash, Blake Bortles meeting with the media yesterday, even a couple of cuts from Marquise Lee, who's starting to emerge and maybe having a bigger role. What's your sense, Ryan, on Allen Hurns' availability this week?
Well, it was a good sign yesterday for Hurns is that when we were able to watch practice, he was on a side field doing a lot of activity. So that means he's been cleared of one threshold.
Right. There are a lot of different thresholds in this system to get through.
Yeah, so I think today's a big day. If he's not able to practice today, I think it's tough. The fact that Walters wasn't out there at all, wouldn't expect to see him likely, but so Rashad Green will get another chance.
We had Dr. Von Thrawn in from JOI yesterday. We do our injury report, and you know, this is more in a general sense. He said typically if these guys are symptomatic on Monday of that week, pretty much count on them not playing. And I don't know if that's just a hard and fast rule of medicine or that's more of a team philosophy, an organizational philosophy or not. So,
well, there have been a couple of cases here where Jokel 2 years ago and Walters last year where they played the week after having one.
Right.
And technically they weren't out of the protocol by Monday. So, but the thing with Hurns is I think you have to err on the side of caution since he had one last year. He missed a game last year, last November. So you feel you have Marquise emerging. Yeah, I probably would hold Hearns out.
All right. Indulge me, if you will. If you don't want to hear me rant about a business that no longer will have my business.
When you see me get up in 6 minutes, don't take it personally.
I will not. Hey, you got to go because Nathaniel Hackett's press conference is coming up. We've got John Harris, by the way, Texan sideline reporter, going to join us in about 10 minutes. So we're going to get the other side of the story there. I can hear you now. They're going to hear me. At Verizon. Let me quick nutshell because the whole thing's on the, or a lot of it is on the Facebook page. And I had a nice little tweet storm yesterday. I appreciate all the retweets from people. Appreciate all the support from people telling me that they had similar experiences. Ways back when I got this last phone, I don't know, maybe going on 2 years or whatever. Guy goes, you know, you don't use all your data. Let's drop your data threshold and save you some money. Well, what does that in turn happen turn out to be? It means I'm going over practically every month now, but that's an aside. I can adjust my own data plan if I want to, right? So I keep getting these messages, you're about to run out of overage data. Even like at the very beginning of the billing cycle, my billing cycle started 3 days ago. These have been coming incessantly, nonstop. One after, I mean, the phone will be sitting there using nothing, using no programs, using no data. And every 90 minutes, it'll send me another one. And I'm assuming it's the same reminder, like, hey, you're up against the threshold here. You haven't used any data since the last one we sent an hour ago. Why would I get another one? Well, because they're claiming I used another gig of data in that period of time when I'm not using anything. Using the phone to call or text does not use data. I've got unlimited plans for that, right? So if I'm going online, any of those things, that use is minimal. So I go to the Verizon store in person yesterday, and I explained to the guy, I don't know everything, all the ins and outs of his phone. He goes, let me check out your data usage, and it shows me which app is using it. And it's a golf tee time booking app, all right? I'm not going to get into the name of it. There are not that many of them out there. You probably know who it is already if you play golf. So it claims that I used 45 gigs of data last month on this golf tee time booking app, which if I ever use it, I'm on it for 5 minutes at a time and then I'm done. And I knew I hadn't played much golf here being football season. In fact, I played once in the last month and it was not through this site. So I know it's BS. All right. So 45 gigs of data. My operating system claimed it used 29 gigs to operate the entire phone. And this one app claimed I used 45 gigs of data. I'm like, this is crazy. What do you think my bill is here? $895, sir. Every one of these texts I've been getting, they're charging me $15 every time they send one. $15 overage charge. Even if the phone's sitting there not doing anything, I'm in the store. The phone is sitting on the counter. I get one while I'm talking to the guy. I show him. Look, 3:04 p.m. You're about to go over. You're charging me again, standing here talking to you. And I'm not using it for anything. Well, sir, let's get customer support on the phone, and we can iron this out.
God, okay. That's the point. I would have went crazy. That's why I'm here, to talk to customer support.
Right, well, the guy at the local store apparently doesn't have the authority to go much deeper than that, other than sell you a phone and a case to go with it and some other accessory and some headphones and whatever. So we get the guy on the phone. Well, sir, let me look into this. Do you mind holding? No. All right. Long story short, over 90 minutes, I was probably on hold for 75, 80 minutes of it, right? So, well, it appears that this app is using up all your data. Duh. That's why I'm calling you. I didn't use the app last month. Well, let's get them on the phone. He gets their technical department on the phone, right? Not just like the guy who runs the company. He gets the technical guy who runs the data and all the programming and all this stuff. And the guy goes, this is crazy. He goes, I can verify Mr. Dempsey has not booked a tee time through us since July 17th. And we've run diagnostics. And if you turned our app on and used it nonstop for a month, it might run you 4 gigs of data. About a tenth of what they claim I use. So here's the company saying it is literally impossible for their app to use that much data.
You'd almost, cause you couldn't use it in a year.
I could. 45 gigs what they're saying. Of data.
Yeah.
And they're saying I used it in the month of October. So I've got the guy. I'm like, well, clearly. Well, you know, he thanks the guy with the golf app. He gets off the phone. He goes, well, I'm going to do my best to help you out here, sir. I say, listen, define to me what help me out means. Because let me tell you what it means to me. It means you're not going to charge me a single penny. Even my base bill, nothing. That bill is going to be wiped out. That's what help me out means. Because Lord knows how many times you've charged me for bogus stuff on all the other overage that you've charged me in the past. I'm not going to go back and adjudicate all those, but I'm not paying you a penny for the month of October. That's helping me out. Yes, sir, I understand. I understand. I'm going to have to get a supervisor in on this, but I'm going to be your advocate. Okay, great. Can I put you on hold again? Sure. Blah, 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 blah. I'm sitting there. Now I'm getting...
advocate.
That's what he said. Literally, Tony said, I'm going to be your advocate. So he gets on the phone. He brings... I have our supervisor on the phone. He can't get off quick enough. He goes, I filled her in, and she's going to take great care of you. Okay, thank you. Goodbye. So he doesn't want any part of this. He knows what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So she, acting like she hasn't been filled in at all, has me go through the whole story again. Fine, I'll go through the whole story again. Blah, 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 blah. You're charging me for data I'm not using. We got the guy on the phone. He said it's impossible for his app to use this. It's and I've never had a history of a data pattern like this in the past. Why would I have it now? Why would this is obviously an anomaly. You need to take care of this. I'm a longtime customer, always pay my bill on time. Da 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 da. Well, sir, listen, cut to the chase, lady. Are you dropping my bill or not? No. It's a third-party app. We're not responsible. So you wasted, after an hour and a half, that was going to be your answer at the end. Why did you even bother to investigate any further? So we're not going to do, you're not going to do anything for me. I said, all right. I said, you know what? I'm going to make it my mission. I got 15,000 people on social media, 12,000 on Twitter, 3,000 on Facebook. I do 5 radio shows in Jacksonville, Florida. I do 6 nationally on SiriusXM every week. That's not even counting the Jag stuff, but I'll leave them out of it. And everyone I know is going to know about this, not only once, but every single day until I get tired of this. And I got pretty good stamina. So today's day 2. All right. So, whoa, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, just so you know, click hang up. Cancel my account. I tell the guy in person. Then the manager comes over. Sir, you can go online to cancel your account if you want to cancel your account. I say, you're not going to cancel my account? He goes, no, you can go online to do that. Have a nice day. I said something that was not very nice back to him.
I'm sure
I said,
did.
I hope you have an effing terrible day, is what I said. All of you, I said. I included all of them. Apologies to the customers who may have been in there at the time. But I warned them personally, reconsider right there. So I went to Sprint, and they're like, hey, we can do this for half, whatever, 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 whatever. So I haven't decided who I'm going to go with yet. So anyway, I get home. I start a tweet storm up, explaining what's going on. Oh, then Verizon takes notice because I'm including them in literally every single tweet that I send out so they can see it and shove it in their face every single time. Verizon support keeps reaching out to me. Please follow us on Twitter, sir, and DM us. We'd love to help you. We're trying to help you. We want to do what we can for you. I'm like, look, I already went through customer support. I went through the whole rigmarole. You said you could do nothing for me. Nothing for me. So, no, sir, but you're a valued customer. Blah, 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 blah. Fine. I get done off the air last night at 10 o'clock. I send them a direct message. I give them the details that they're looking for so they can go to my account. Explain the whole story again. Well, yes, sir. There's nothing we can do for you. Exactly what you told me before. Why are you wasting my time? Mm-hmm. Well, here's what we can do for you, sir. Since you're already 12 gigs of data over this month's cycle in 3 days,
yeah.
Why don't we give you a more expensive plan to cover all this data? Would you like to upgrade your plan to spend $150 a month with us to get 24 gigs of data, and that'll cover the 18. Yeah, what about the next 10 days when you start running up more charges on me? I'm going to blow through that in a second. I had to shut my data completely off yesterday. I can't trust that it's not going to automatically charge me anymore. So Verizon, screw you. To people who work there, get out because your company's a fraud. To people who are considering going to Verizon, don't consider it. To people who know people who are considering going to Verizon, unless you hate their guts, get them to not do that. To people who are currently using Verizon, it can happen to you because let me tell you what, I am overwhelmed by how many people hit me up yesterday on social media to say, you know what, I got charged $1,500, $800, this many $100 for stuff I never used. Going to go to the FCC, going to go to the Better Business Bureau, and I'm going to wage a ceaseless, nonstop social media campaign to cost them as much money as possible. Yesterday, I got at least a half dozen people yesterday who said, if this doesn't get resolved for you by tomorrow, we're dropping you. So I've already cost them as much money as they're going to get out of me if I even decide to pay it. I don't know if I'm going to decide to pay it or not because I'm going to see if I can contest this charge. It's absolutely bullcrap is what it is. Verizon, you suck. Your customer service sucks even worse. And on top of that, you suck, okay? In case that point wasn't made clearly in my last 2 sentences. You are terrible, awful people. You're an awful company. Your customer service is non-existent, and I hope no one ever buys your product. I hope you go out of business. I hope your CEOs die penniless and insane in the gutter. And anything else bad that can happen to you, I'm good with that too, okay? So I'm just getting started, Verizon. Today's day two, but day one on the radio. I got a lot of shows. And put it this way, if you don't want to hear bad things about Verizon, drop me on social media right now. I'm not going to do this on the radio every day. I may slip in a quick Verizon sucks every day, but just not follow me on Twitter. Drop me on Facebook. Look, and do whatever you want because it's going to be ceaseless.
As I told you when I got here, I saw it yesterday and I was like, ooh, he's on the warpath. I knew it.
I've got a target.
And I showed up here today and I told you a story very similar where it was a third-party app where it ran up the overages on my phone, and I called the company that I have, and I said, hey, I wasn't using this. And they said, oh, okay, we'll clear that up for you right now. I mean, it was 5 minutes on the phone. They can do it. They just didn't.
Of course they can.
Yeah.
Of course they can. And people are telling me, you should contact this person with the company. You should No, I contacted customer service. That's who's supposed to help the customer.
Yep.
You know, maybe I should have tried the, who's your boss? Well, sir, I'm the blah, blah. No. Unless you run the company, you got a boss. If you're not going to help me, maybe I'll try that. But regardless, I'll tell Verizon this flat to their face. You're going to forgive every charge from last month, every charge you think I owe you from this billing cycle, and I'm still dropping your ass, okay? But I will drop my campaign against you, but only if you drop all the charges. You're still never getting a penny out of me. I'm still leaving Verizon.
Can you hear me now?
And I'm also thinking about creating a bounty system. I'm not sure how much I can put into this. I'm not a rich guy. I may match the amount of money that they claim I owe them and pass out $20 to $50 bounties for everyone who proves they drop Verizon for another carrier. I don't care what carrier you go to. This is not an ad for another carrier. I do not care. Don't go to Verizon, and I may end up paying you some money if you leave them. So I'll think about that. I may be a little bullish on that one, Tony. I'm not 100% sure. But that's my tale so far today.
Well, until you get to 900, it's all found money.
Sir, why don't you... just expand your package? Spend $150 a month for data.
So
why don't you
insulting.
Do that? That'll solve this. Yeah. Just pay us more money for the screw up that we're doing right now. Verizon, in case you didn't get the message, you suck. All right, coming up, John Harris does not, and he is with the Texans Radio Network, and we'll break down the Texans coming up on the other side. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
He's elite, man. He is elite. And they do a good job. They'll connect. I think defenses are doing a good job being aware of Hopkins and where he's at. And, you know, you see some different, you know, things defensively, what they're doing, especially on third down. You know, and I think you give him credit. He's gone to his tight ends, and he's trying to spread it out some.
Hey, the point of the game in the NFL is winning, right? But it is odd, Tony, when you see an emerging young star receiver like Dustin Hopkins, or DeAndre Hopkins, got the other Hopkins in my head there for a second. DeAndre Hopkins really look so out of sync with his quarterback when he's played with so many substandard quarterbacks over the years and really has never missed a beat. So let's talk to John Harris of the Texans Radio Network as he joins us here, their sideline reporter on 1010XL. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, by the way, the only guy that can stop Dustin Hopkins is Tony Wiley, the Redskins PR guy. So, and we know all about him because he was in Houston for a while. So it's okay. We kind of have Dustin Hopkins on the brain at some point, too, I'm sure.
Well, I think also I bet Richard Sherman could stop him based on what I saw on Monday night. I bet he could throw something into that kicking leg that would stop him. But that's an aside. What about DeAndre Hopkins and the chemistry with Brock Osweiler? It's been half a season now, John. Is it how worrisome is this that these guys don't seem to be completely on the same page?
That little bit. I think I would be more disappointed or more upset. I think fans would be more upset if Brock hadn't found something with the tight ends and the running game hadn't picked up. Because if the tight end production last year was the same as it is this year, then this offense would score 3 points a game. I mean, they got nothing out of the tight ends. Last year they had 42 total catches, and that included a one throw to Kendall Lamb, who comes in as the sixth offensive lineman as a tight end. He caught one in Buffalo. They had 42 total catches last year, the entire year. This year the tight ends have 57 catches, and Fedorowicz and Griffin have become major parts to this offense, and Brock really likes throwing the football to them. because he can make that seam throw. He'll take that little stick route option throw that he's got to him. So it would be more concerning if those guys hadn't stepped up and if Will Fuller hadn't been in the first few games, at least, before he sort of got dinged up and slowed down, if he wasn't a factor early on in the season. But I think as it goes on, what they're going to have to do is take advantage of times. And you heard Gus talk about that, which I find ironic because last year the philosophy in Jacksonville was, yeah, we'll put Devon House on DeAndre Hopkins, go one-on-one the whole game. And DeAndre had the best game.
Yeah, that didn't work.
He lit Jacksonville up. Well, they learned by week 17 that wasn't going to be the case. And I think it was after that Jacksonville game that DeAndre started seeing some different type coverages. He still was beating it to a degree, but when he faced good teams, teams are just saying, look, you're not going to throw the ball to Hopkins. We're putting two guys, and I saw it up in Buffalo against Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan had a guy playing press man right in front of DeAndre, and then he had a corner that was 7 or 8 yards directly behind him. And I remember the quarterback looking out there going, well, I'm not going over there. I mean, it was literally when Steph Curry was at Davidson playing basketball and they took two guys and put them on Curry the entire game. That's kind of what teams have been doing to him. Now, hopefully that changes. Hopefully teams at some point look at Fuller and Braxton Miller and those guys start stepping up and making more plays. The tight ends continue to make plays. And it sort of throws the defense off that, well, what do we do? Because these other guys are beating us now. We got to play this a little bit more even across the board, and that's when DeAndre can really step up. So, yeah, there's been some issue about it, but hopefully as time goes on and those other guys continue to make plays, then DeAndre will get some more single coverage and they can take advantage of it.
Sometimes from afar, stories look far different than they do when you're covering a team on a day-to-day basis. I know a couple weeks ago the stories came out about some questions being asked to Bill O'Brien about whether he has had to consider benching basically Brock Osweiler, or at least that's the way it was reported nationally. How serious are those considerations, those questions about Brock, and where is he through the first 8 games of his Texans career?
Well, I'll take the – there's going to be no change. It's like a lot of places, and I'm sure you guys have probably heard it with the frustration that fans have there with Blake and how Blake is playing, but I don't know if there's an outcry for Chad Henne because, hey, look, Jaguar fans have seen what Chad Henne can do, and I don't know that there's much change. The difference here in Houston is people really haven't seen Tom Savage, and so there's more of an intrigue because they watch him throw the football, and it's so smooth and so effortless, and he looks the part of an NFL quarterback, whereas Brock it really doesn't. I mean, Brock looks – I don't know if this is the right way of saying this, but there have been people that call him a giraffe, and he sort of kind of looks like that sometimes when he starts running. But he's a good athlete, but he just sort of looks awkward in everything he does. He's got a three-quarter arm motion. It doesn't look right. When you watch Savage, he looks like an NFL quarterback. So there is, from the nether regions of social media, hey, what about Savage? But I think people realistically know there's not going to be, a change. I thought the funniest thing that became sort of a national story was, oh, Bill O'Brien and Brock Osweiler had a heated conversation. Look, it's Thursday. O'Brien's going to have a heated conversation with somebody. I mean, he has them with me all the time. Now, I've known him for 25 years, but he'll have a heated conversation about the hot food line in the cafeteria. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is with Bill O'Brien. So I don't make much of it. I just think Brock has got to get comfortable. And that's the thing. In an offense, and you guys probably have seen this a little bit on the defensive side with a lot of new pieces, it takes a little while for all those pieces to come together. Now, it's easier on defense because if those guys just eventually run the football, you can be okay. Offensively, there's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts, and they changed a lot on the offensive line. With Lamar Miller added at running back, Will Fuller a rookie, Braxton Miller a rookie. They're really the only consistent parts heading into the season were DeAndre Hopkins and Dwayne Brown. And Dwayne missed the first 4 games being injured. So it's taken them a little while to all get on the same page. But I think the one thing that Brock does is he knows the offense. He knows it. It's just a matter of can he make the right throw at the right time. That, I think, ends up being the key going forward. And I think they'll eventually find it. But I think this Jacksonville test is a lot more stern than people are thinking here in Houston.
John, Houston's defense currently ranked 5th overall in the National Football League because they're number 1 against the pass in terms of total yards allowed so far this year. But they're They're fifth worst against the run. You know, it's a relative thing. Sometimes the difference between fifth and 15th is not that many yards. But nevertheless, has that been kind of the story when teams have had success against the Texans? They found it running the football?
Yeah, stop the run. I mean, you know, look, when you face the Broncos throw you a lot of – I mean, facing that zone scheme and guys are cutting on the backside, which you don't see a ton of anymore in the game. And so that was sort of frustrating. And you know, they had some good moments early on, and all of a sudden C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker just found it. And it was like, man. And then Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas started making catches, and they just – they didn't know whether to be in nickel. They didn't know whether to be in base, and it just – it kind of threw them off all night, but that was sort of the story. They have had some trouble. Frank Gore ran on them, and some of that was tackling. But that front has just got to play better. Now, this sounds odd, but they're sort of at a disadvantage size-wise because they moved to De'Veon Clowney in the 3-4 defensive end, and they did that so they could get their best 11 players on the field and put John Simon outside linebacker and keep Whitney Mercilus where he's comfortable at outside linebacker. So to get them on the field, to get everybody comfortable, they had to move to De'Veon inside. Well, he's 260 pounds playing a 3-4 defensive end. Now, he holds his own because he's strong as an ox, but eventually the pounding starts to take its toll. So I do think that the run defense is under the spotlight. And I know Jacksonville, statistically, you just went by the statistics and said, okay, well, Jacksonville hasn't run the ball well this year, but if you flip on the tape against Kansas City, there are gaping holes that Chris Ivory was able to find. Now, some of that was because Blake was checking to some really nice run plays and getting them out of a pass and into a run. He did a nice job with that. But that does worry me a little bit that they'll catch the Texans in nickel with six guys in the box, and they can get a hat on a hat, and all of a sudden Ivory is running free into the secondary. So there's a major concern, I think, with Nathaniel Hackett finding something in Kansas City and saying, you know what, we're sticking with this because this keeps Blake from throwing interceptions. We like this look. It gives Ivory and Yeldon a chance to get rolling, and this is the type of team we're going to be going forward. So I am pretty concerned about that run offense and how the Texans are going to match up on a defensive perspective against it.
Are the Texans a bad road team, or have they just played a really tough schedule on the road?
Wow, good question. I think it's a little bit of both. You know, the Thursday night game in New England, you know, you can come up with every excuse for it, but you know, you fumbled twice on punt return. The Vikings game, the Vikings had the Texans number. It was almost as if they were in Bill O'Brien's headset all game. They just had their number the entire game. The Broncos game, the Texans should have, and it sounds weird, it should have won. I mean, it's 27-9. They should have won a ball game. They fumbled when it was 14-9. They had just had two drives just sticking it right down the Broncos' throat, but they couldn't put the ball in the end zone, and they were on another drive, and Alfred Blue had the ball about the 25-yard line. A great run, got popped, fumbled, and then the Broncos took it from there and won the football game, and it just completely changed the momentum. So, you know, last year at the end of the year, they were a great road team. They had won like three in a row on the road, including beating Indy and Indy for the first time, and then all of a sudden you get to this year, and now the narrative is, oh, they can't win on the road. So I think there's a combination of things. I think on the road they'll be fine. But I think a lot of it had to do with the fact they're playing the Patriots, the Vikings, and the Broncos, and those aren't going to end up being good matchups, especially against an offense that was still trying to find itself in the first half of the season.
Good question there, Tony Smith. I like it. Good stuff. Good info there, John Harris. At J Harris Football is where you'll find him on Twitter. He's an analyst, of course, for the Texans radio and television networks, and you can check him out at HoustonTexans.com as well. Their sideline reporter, and he's the owner of Football Takeover. .com. So give his website a check as well, as he's a guy who spent a little time here in Jacksonville. Despite the fact that he is with the wrong squad now, we still like John Harris. John, we always appreciate the time, buddy, and look forward to seeing you out here this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick before I go, and I know I shouldn't do this because this is biased towards one team, but I got to wish my Pittsburgh Eagles luck this week against FSU High down in Tallahassee. The Eagles have gotten to the playoffs again. Mark Brunell's done a great job over there, and that was my former school, and I coached the first playoff game there. They've never won a playoff game that I can remember, so hopefully they'll go down to FSU, go to Tallahassee, and get a win. So best of luck.
Hey, bro, you can always be biased for a Jacksonville school against an outsider anytime you like. John,
yeah.
You got it, buddy. Hey, thanks so much, and good luck to Episcopal. We'll see you on Sunday, man. Take care.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
All right, there he goes, John Harris with the Texans Radio Network. Quick timeout. We come back. Got the state in football, the Honda drive around the NFL, and Ryan O'Halloran will rejoin us and tell us what Nathaniel Hackett had to say this morning. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, November 10th, let's go back to 1985. Tony, do you recall San Diego running back Lionel James? Remember him?
Yeah, he was on Tecmo Bowl, so yes.
Yes, you remember his nickname?
No, Lion.
O'Halloran?
Lightning.
Lionel James.
Lightning.
Not a bad guess. He was a little guy. Lionel, he was called the Little Train, like a Lionel Train. Anyway, on this date, at the time, he set the mark for the second highest all-purpose yardage total in a single game in NFL history with 345 yards as the Chargers knocked off the then LA Raiders 40-34 in overtime. James scored the winning touchdown in overtime on a 17-yard run. Since then, the record has been put out there at 404 yards. Glenn Milburn of the Denver Broncos, we've talked about this one in the past, back in the 1990s, had a 404-yard game. This is all-purpose yardage here. Billy Cannon was number one previously, prior to Lionel James, and he still holds the number two spot. Adrian Peterson, third with 361. I'm guessing that's the game he ran for 296.
Probably.
For the Minnesota Vikings. So, and several others have since surpassed the mark by Lionel James. Famous birthdays for this date. Happy birthday to former Jaguar linebacker Lonnie Martz, born in this date in 1968. Ooh. Oh, my bad. That's right. You get excited about these. I forgot about that. 48 years old. What about the Right Reverend Isaac Bruce? What do you got?
44.
44 years old today, Ryan O'Halloran.
That's
yes,
great
sir.
Job.
Four-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champion, and had a big touchdown catch in that Super Bowl game for the greatest show on turf. And Tony, how old is the ultimate game manager who's currently rehabbing his torn-up knee, Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater turned 26 today.
24 today. He's a young game manager, born in 1992. This date in football brought to you by our friends at Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're a certified Invisalign provider. They offer 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. Check them out whether you're in the market for a family dentist. If you need cosmetic work done, 620-9225, the number conveniently located on Gate Parkway. In the meantime, check out jamesjmccall.com. You'll get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Veterans Day tomorrow, but do want to shout out 242nd birthday of the United States Marines today. I know my grandfather who fought in the Pacific identified himself as a Marine every day that I knew him until the day he died this past December. So rest in peace, Grandpa, and happy birthday to the Marines and everyone who has served this country. Kansas City running back Spencer Ware has been cleared out of the league's concussion protocol, should return to the field for the Chiefs this Sunday against Carolina. He was a full participant in practice yesterday. Cam Chancellor and Thomas Rawls returned to practice for Seattle yesterday. Chancellor has missed the last four games with a groin injury. He was a full participant in practice. Pete Carroll sounded hopeful that he would be available on Sunday Night Football against the New England Patriots. Rawls, who is returning from a broken leg, was limited in practice. The team is talking up running back C.J. Procise to get an expanded role this week in the Seattle running game after Kristen Michael had just 1 yard on five carries but did score a touchdown on Monday Night Football. New York Jets defensive end Sheldon Richardson talked about being benched for the first quarter of the Jets game against Miami this past weekend yesterday, saying, quote, "It has been blown way out of proportion. I know me missing the first quarter isn't blown out of proportion, but it was one meeting. It is how it is. I overslept 20 minutes. It was just that. Most definitely learned a lesson I already knew." Yeah, that's a great quote. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers addressed the presidential election yesterday, and we could go into his comments about the outcome, but who really cares? Rodgers had a bunch of people telling him on social media that they had voted for the Packers signal caller, and even a few mentioned they had included Jordy Nelson as the VP on that all-Packers ticket. Rodgers said, quote, "I just want to thank all the voters out there who did vote for me. I know some people it was between me and Harambe. I think I finished second in that vote." Yes, you did, Aaron. According to some estimates, Harambe, the late Cincinnati Zoo gorilla, received up to 15,000 votes for president on Tuesday. One final note here talking about the election. Bill Belichick did not want to answer any questions about the personal letter he reportedly sent to Donald Trump, and he handled up not wanting to answer those questions in the most Belichick way possible.
"We got a huge game this week against a great football team, great organization.
And that's where it all is going forward on Seattle. All right.
Coach, were you happy or annoyed that Trump read the letter?
Seattle.
But your team's always been good at keeping outside distractions on the outside. Given the nature of this presidential race,
Seattle.
Did you find it?
Seattle.
Did you find it helpful to talk to players about this? If any of your players talk to you about this?
Seattle.
Concerns about any locker room rancor as a result of this?
Next.
don't you think shouldn't someone have said? What NFL city do you think had the most support for Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Seattle. Right?
Yeah.
I would have asked him all these different things. In what city would you most like to have dinner with Donald Trump?
Seattle. I give Steve Buckley, the Boston Herald columnist, who was asking that question, because this is a guy who's prided himself on zero distractions, told his locker room, you will not, you know, reveal your political leanings or religious leanings.
Seattle.
And then he sends a letter basically endorsing Trump.
Of course.
Yeah, it wasn't a letter of support. The next one should have been, did you vote for him? Are you happy he won? But
Seattle.
Exactly.
Yes. Tony, anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right. Seattle. There you go. That is the Dayton football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. Ryan O'Halloran back from chatting up Nathaniel Hackett this morning. And any revelations? What did you learn?
No, he reiterated that they felt they left they had 448 yards of offense. I think that's the right number. And they felt they left a lot of yards out there. Excited about Marquise Lee's progress. I asked him, hey, last week was a race to get to the game. Have you had, time to really step back and put your print on it? He sort of, hemmed and hawed, saying, well, you're going all the time. He says it still feels like it's happened quickly since the transition from quarterback coach to coordinator. So
right, he doesn't take the week off from Sunday to Sunday. He's probably been grinding quite a bit.
Then he had a good line talking about Chris Ivory ran over Ron Parker right in front of him.
Yeah,
and he laughed and says, I got a little emotional watching that. He's a little excited. So, obviously a lot of talk about the running game, but also they just have to score more points is one thing he acknowledged as well.
All right. Well, they certainly do need to do that. The yardage is great, and especially the yardage differential that you had. Some of that was due to the short fields for Kansas City, but some of the time it wasn't because they didn't do anything when they got the ball on those short fields except kick the field goal after picking up about 5 yards. So, all right, we'll come back. We'll hear some audio from Gus Bradley, a little bit from Blake Bortles as well. Todd Wash, all meeting with the media yesterday with their thoughts on how are things going to go against the Houston Texans coming up this week. If you want to get in with Ryan O'Halloran, with Fat Tony and myself, 641-1010. We'll check out the text line coming up as well. By the way, appreciate all the continued support. Guess who tried to call me 10 minutes ago?
T-Mobile.
No.
But Verizon.
If they were smart, they might have. They don't have my number. Yes, customer support. This is more like 20 minutes ago now. I'm going to call you. He sends me a direct message. I'm going to call you. Huh, wonder what made you want to do that. I'm going to call you in a couple of minutes. You mean so you don't even read what I said. I told him explicitly, here are the hours I'm on the air. Here are when I'm going to be ripping your company. So he calls me right in the middle of the radio show and wonders why I don't answer. Is there a better time to reach you? No, there's not a better time to reach me. I've already been through the ringer with you twice. What are you going to tell me now the third time? Now that it's getting a little publicity, how crappily you treat your customers.
They call and say, this bill has disappeared. What do you do?
I will say, thank you very much. I'm still leaving. I'm leaving, period. But the best they can do is they can wipe out last month and this month's bill, and I will
stop talking.
Cease the social media campaign. Doesn't mean I won't word of mouth spread the word as much as possible, but I'll stop the online campaign, but I'm never spending another penny with Verizon. Ever. 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 All right, coming back, we'll hear audio from the Jags. Coming up next, it's Jaguars Today live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Seattle.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The last 2 years, it's hard to trust me as far as being in there when you don't have the chemistry and things like that. For me, being actually in the mix now on a consistent basis is better for the both of us. And Blake knowing where I'm at, me knowing where he's going to put it at, it's on point.
That's the albino tiger right there, Marquise Lee. And, you know, it's not just on game day if Marquise has been available or unavailable in the past couple of years. It's that time, as he talked about, developing some chemistry with Blake Bortles that even when he is healthy, if you haven't had that, you don't have that trust factor. Is he going to be where I think he's going to be? And so that was a factor. But this year, certainly that's turned around, and Marquise Lee has been outstanding for the Jags, or at least a lot better than we saw in the first couple years. Ryan, Tony and I were talking about this the other day. We're talking about MVPs on offense, defense, and special teams at the halfway point. You make a pretty good case Marquise Lee is the offensive MVP of this team.
If you had to pick one, he would be on that short list because, yeah, I remember one of my go-to lines during the preseason is anything they get at Marquise Lee is a bonus. So imagine where this passing game would be without some of the plays he has made.
Nice bonus.
442 tied with A-Rob, one behind Hearns for the team lead. You know, I think the next step for Marquise is all they've talked about him the last couple of years is how he can run past the defense, take the top off, be a home run hitter, et cetera, et cetera. Saw that a little bit on the 51-yarder against Kansas City. I want to see more of that. He's shown a lot of toughness on those shallow crosses, bouncing off tackles, taking some hits. Let's expand his game a little bit to see if you can get him going downfield. Maybe that can free up some coverage from A-Rob.
No doubt Blake Bortles, speaking to the media yesterday, actually talked a little bit about Marquise Lee.
Yeah, no, he's been awesome. You know, he's been fun to watch. He's been fun to play with. I think, you know, you're able to see every time he touches the ball what he can do with it, you know, how explosive he is, you know, how fast he is and what he can do. So it's definitely with Marquise, you know, get him the ball as quick as possible and let him go to work.
And also as a follow-up to that, just talked about the aspect, you know, just in terms of what abilities he brings and what he's capable of doing.
You know, he's a guy that I think has rare ability to kind of, you know, stay at one speed in and out of cuts. You know, he doesn't slow down to change direction. He stays at full speed, and I think that's rare and it's hard to do. And I think that's, you know, what you're talking about allows him to create separation.
Yeah, and you know, you haven't seen that a ton because they haven't asked him to do that a lot. A lot of his stuff is on the short to intermediate throws. And as I was just saying is, you know, especially if Allen Hurns is unavailable Sunday, he's going to have to run some more of those deep routes, and I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I'm really curious. You know, Nate Hackett, I thought, did a pretty good job on Sunday against Kansas City. They obviously got the running game going for the first time really this year. I think you saw them use Marquise Lee in ways that we haven't seen him utilized to this point in 2016. They had the one jet sweep basically to him, which I think we've all been begging for since he's become a real part of this offense, is why aren't they using him as kind of that change of pace guy in the run game to try to loosen some things up defensively? We saw the play downfield. I'm curious to see if he can back up. And again, they only scored 14 points, so it's not like he knocked it out of the park against Kansas City. But can he follow that up with, you know, utilizing the weapons that they do have in this offense and making everyone effective again?
Yeah, and I like, for Marquise, I like the jet sweep better than the bubble screen because he gets the ball in motion. And instead of catching it, you got to rely on your receivers blocking. You know, if he gets a full head of steam at the handoff, he can get around the corner before blocks are even needed to be made, and guys can just get downfield for him. So, I think that's a nice play for them to add.
All right, all these guys, top three receivers, within a yard of each other, which is kind of crazy at the halfway point. Who has the most yardage rest of the season?
I think it's going to be Allen Robinson.
So do I.
I think you know, talking to him after the game, he looked like he had a little more bounce in his step after this one, regardless, even though it was a loss, you know, because he felt he was targeted 12 times. He had 7 catches. He realizes that if he keeps getting open downfield like that, those plays are going to work out more times than not. And, you know, because he had two long balls that Blake missed him on. So I think Allen's going to have one of those huge games that will separate himself.
Somewhere along the line, right? Yeah. He'll have that 160-yard, 2-touchdown kind of performance and something. Yeah, I would go Robinson at the top of the list, Tony. But right now I'd probably say Lee for number two.
Me too.
Yeah.
So me too.
We'll see. I know, which is, like we said, you know, bonus. If you get anything out of Lee, he's probably exceeded some people's expectations. And who knows, if things break right, could be a 1,000-yard receiver if things go the right way in the second half of the season. More from Blake Bortles here. Tyler, let's play these two back-to-back. I was asked just about Linder in general and then talking about some added responsibilities that Linder's been dealing with?
I think he's been unbelievable. You know, last week I think was a big test for him going against Poe, who I think is one of the best in the NFL, and he did a really good job. You know, so I'm excited for him. It's good to see, you know, a guy be able to change positions and excel the way he has and kind of take ownership of the offensive line room with making all the calls and doing all that stuff, and I think he's played his butt off. There was a little more on his plate with the switchover as far as making calls and kind of making sure all those guys are on the same page. You know, and it was also we wanted to help those guys out a little bit more. And we'll continue to try and help those guys out up front. You know, that puts a little more on his plate with, you know, which way to slide the line and doing stuff like that. And then we'll get those guys some help with some chips and some different things.
Hayes had a story on Brandon Linder today's paper. He talked to Nate Hackett yesterday about him, and Hackett said last week he's called Linder out saying, hey, you're facing a big guy. We're not going to give you a ton of help. You got to be able to handle him if you're going to play center. And, you know, he had some negative plays, but, you know, there's also a lot of times where he really looks like he's starting to understand angles, and you don't need to, like, you know, bulldoze a guy.
Leverage.
You can just sort of, you know, ride him out, lean into him, and that opens the hole. So, what's going to be, I mean, my guess it's fait accompli, department who regardless who's here, that they're going to keep him at center. But, I mean, I thought he would have been an outstanding guard this year. So there's almost like a half season of transition there.
I'm just smiling because you use the term fait accompli, which I appreciate out of you, Ryan O'Halloran.
I'm well-traveled. Well-rounded.
Prior to this game, they hadn't run the ball well. What was the feeling in the building? Because, you know, for me as a layman, the way they looked running the ball, I didn't think anybody was playing particularly well on the offensive line, at least in that department. Mm-hmm. Did the team feel differently? Have they felt like Linder has been pretty steady all along?
Yeah, I mean, you'll never hear a bad word from them about him from them. It's sort of one of their pet guys that they're going to ride moving forward. You know, like the knee injury, he tried to get out on a couple screens that didn't look great. And maybe the knee is still bothering him a little bit. But I think one thing on the O-line they're banking on is that this was the fourth straight game with this group. So maybe they are getting some continuity, and that'll help them be more productive and rushing it, and also communication on the pass protection.
All right, before we go back to the audio, a quick one here on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Since we talk a lot about contract extension for Allen Robinson, any chance that they extend Marquise Lee before, you know, his value starts to rise, the way they put it, especially before his stock explodes?
The first chance they could do that is in March after the league year starts. So him and Robinson and Linder and Telvin
all eligible
and Colvin,
at the same time, right?
All eligible.
Big
so
batch.
That's one of the things that I'm getting into in Sunday's paper.
Will they try to stagger, do you think, some of this?
I think it all depends on who's making the decisions. That's the – and there's – if it's the same GM, I think he'll maybe pick one or two of those guys. If it's a new administration – all bets are off.
And I understand your point because they want to do their own evaluation of these guys. But for me, extend Allen Robinson, no question about it. Because physically, he gives you something that, you know, the size that you're not going to – you just can't make guys bigger. He's big. He's fast. He can do everything. You can get the toes down, make contorted catches, all that.
But if he doesn't, I mean, his numbers, unless he really, really gets going, his numbers aren't going to be the same.
Understood.
So from his perspective, okay, he's going to, what are the numbers that it will be exchanged? Because I'm sure when Allen Hurns signed his deal, Allen Robinson said, okay, I'm going to be above that.
Right.
Well, if the season ended today, he wouldn't.
I would expect that if I'm an evaluator, I've seen what he's capable of with that 1,400-yard season, and I understand all the factors that have gone into depressing the yardage totals this year. I'm paying him more than Allen Hurns, if that's me.
Quick thing on Allen Hurns from the Jaguars. He's been cleared to return in a limited practice capacity today. That's the next step for him. So, that still has him
still possibly on track.
In play for Sunday, but he still has a couple days to go.
Let's get a couple more comments here from Blake Bortles, and we've been talking about the running game here with Nate Hackett taking over the play calling and the offensive coordinator duties last week, and it finally got going. Blake talked a little bit about that.
You could tell those guys felt good about it. I think anytime you run for 200 yards in the NFL, that's a big day, and that's something to be proud of, and I know those guys are proud of it. I think, you know, one thing that's for us is we felt, even though going for 200 and whatever, that we still left a lot of yards on the field. You know, Nathaniel does a good job because we haven't done that. Everybody was excited. You know, look what we did. Obviously, people are upset we didn't win, but look what we were able to do in the run game. And he made sure to make a point of, you know, the yards we left on the field and things we can be better at and still continue to get better at.
Okay, a couple of quick ones here to follow up on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Can we ask Ryan his thoughts on how Omame is playing and what the – just a guy?
Just a guy. He's doing enough to hold on to the spot.
For now.
Yeah. And if you're Chris Reed, you're probably a little, okay, maybe they don't think that highly of me because he's a guy that's been in the system. He hasn't been able to get back in there. I'll probably have some of those totals in there, but he doesn't look like he's so bad in pass pro. He's had some bad runs.
Here's a question. It's kind of interesting from a fan. Does Allen Robinson want to stay here? His interactions with the fans suggest otherwise.
I'm not in a position to comment on the last part.
Money talks.
Yeah, and also, if you're Allen, the most money you're going to make is going to be here, because if they want to keep you, they'll tag you. You know, so there's not a lot of receivers that hit the open market at his age.
Not a lot of good ones.
Yeah. I mean, and also you look like a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, because he was mentioned in the last segment, is he went to Denver from Pittsburgh. He didn't get his money until his second deal with the Broncos. So I think from Allen's perspective, on a second round deal, the best place for him financially will be here.
All right. And look, I can't speak for him either. None of us can. I'm hoping that, like we all do, we have our momentary frustrations. Mine with Verizon is a permanent one. But anyway.
I respond to fans all the time, and 5 seconds later I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have said that was a stupid question.
Right.
So stuff happens. So, I'm not going to defend the player. I'm not going to, like, so.
Right. My point being, let's not make this into a permanent gulf, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily that way. Right. You know, Richard Sherman goes back at people all the time.
No, he does.
Probably up in the Seattle area.
Looking at some of the receiver numbers, since we're talking about it right now, Jeremy Maclin makes $12.4 million right now. That's the seventh highest paid wide receiver in the league. Yeah, Dez Bryant and A.J. Green right ahead of him at $13 million. That seems kind of about the range. That $12 to $13 million a year range would be where I would expect A. Rob to fall.
There are a lot of agents that love that Maclin contract.
So where we're getting into the issue then is, okay, you got Hearns on the hook. Say you extend Allen Robinson. What does that mean for Marquise Lee?
That's the point, right? You know, I mean, and he was the guy who was taken ahead of both of them, right? So, and now he's starting to fulfill the promise that they thought they had when they drafted him. I'd love to see him keep the band all together, you know, quite frankly. I think if you keep those three guys, I think you're going to be fine at wide receiver.
Well, and you could probably do that if you decide to get a little cheaper at tight end.
Good point. I mean, they're certainly underutilizing Julius Thomas for the amount of money that they're paying at this point in time. All right, he is Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, along with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today rolls on. Our fan feedback question of the day today, it's kind of a personal one for you Jaguar fans out there, and we've gotten a lot of response on this morning. If you already have tickets for the game this weekend, are you planning on attending or not? And if not, why not? If so, why? I mean, there are varied reasons. Some people think it's a no-brainer. I have tickets. I'm a Jaguar fan. I'm going. That's fine. Not everyone in your position feels exactly the same way. So we're just trying to get a little pulse of the fan base for as accurately as Twitter reflects that and Facebook. So we'll check in with some of your responses. Also, a few cuts from Todd Wash coming up on the other side, particularly about that defensive performance we saw against Kansas City Chiefs, and will that carry over, hopefully, against the Houston Texans. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
After the game, catch the Bullard Fence Defensive Player of the Game. Defense! It's all about defense. Bullard Fence, serving greater Jacksonville for over 15 years with no bull. Defense! On 1010XL.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, Tony.
Thank you, Tyler.
Internal JT for you. Internal Wi-Fi here is not has nothing to do with Verizon here at Everbank. Yet my internet is down and yours is working at this very same moment. I have no connections available. We sit right next to each other. And so I will, before we get to the fan feedback spotlight, I'll give you a chance to pick a cut or two from Todd Wash that seems particularly interesting that you think Jaguar fans would like to hear about from the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, let's take a look. Obviously, one of the storylines coming out of the game this weekend against Kansas City was how good they were on third down. That's something they've struggled with to this point in the year. Todd Wash talked about the success they had against Kansas City on that critical down.
I thought we pressured the quarterback well on third down when we did bring our pressures. We were in good shape to, you know, pressure the quarterback, so the ball had to come out and had some errant throws. But we also had some real nice coverage in the back end. So it was a good combination of rush and cover this past week.
I had them for 6 quarterback hits and 2 sacks, which was more than the last 3 games combined. So maybe their 4-man rush is getting going a little bit more.
I saw some blitzing going on too. So they you know,
only 8 times, but it came on good situations where you noticed it.
Right, exactly. Know? It showed up, and I thought it seemed a little more evident, Ryan, in those cases. You know, I talked to Pete Prisco this morning, and we were talking about this before the show, and I said it's a pretty impressive job they did, 1 of 14 on third down. Man, you're not going to see that too often, and a lot of it was attributable to pressure. He goes, well, you know, it was Foles. Foles was terrible. I thought they forced Foles into some decisions where he had to just, you know, get rid of the ball, throw it out of bounds. And I'm not saying Foles is great, but I didn't think it was just, wow, you just had a really shaky
quarterback.
Make
bad players
there.
Look bad.
Yeah, I thought they forced
done
them to,
that.
Tony.
Right. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do when you go up against Nick Foles is make him look like Nick Foles. And that's not something this Jaguars defense has done enough in the last 3.5 years. They did on Sunday. That's progress of a sort, at least. A couple more cuts here from Todd Wash. Let's skip ahead. He talked about how the Texans are different this year with some of the new faces they have on that side of the ball offensively.
Fuller can run. He can take the top off. Obviously, we know Hopkins can. But their tight end's playing really well also. So, you know, they got some weapons. The addition of Miller, he's a great back. He was good in Miami, and he's doing a really nice job this year. So they not only can they run the ball, but they can throw the ball. So we got to be sharp, understanding when we're bringing pressure, if we are bringing pressure, and if we're going to play 7 or 8-man boxes. So they can challenge us in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, Fuller is a guy that can, the proverbial take the top off guy. He had a quick start to the season. He's cooled off a little bit, but you can't forget about him because sure. He does have the deep speed, and it seems like Osweiler's had as much, if not more, chemistry with him than Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean, Hopkins' per-catch average has plummeted, maybe for that reason.
Have you been able to watch any Texans games?
Not much.
I've seen a couple, or at least parts of a couple, and, I mean, it's striking how poorly they're communicating. Osweiler will throw it outside, and Hopkins is breaking inside, or vice versa. Yeah. He's breaking off his route 3 yards short. Things like that, they just don't have that chemistry going.
Yeah, and Hopkins told us yesterday, my numbers aren't where they should be, and sort of said, hey, still working some kinks out, you know, our word, not his. But
right.
It's interesting. I mean, if I thought that Osweiler coming in, still being an inexperienced guy, I thought the criticism would be you're throwing it to him too much.
Right. You're relying on that guy kind of as a crutch or whatever the case may be.
So it's turned out to be the other thing. So I wonder if they come out of this bye saying, okay, Hop's our best guy.
Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a great week to do it if Ramsey shadows him, though. It's interesting. Where would you – on the spectrum of – T.Y. Hilton, Amari Cooper, Alshon Jeffrey, he's more on the Cooper Hilton end. To me, he's maybe, you know, not quite as physical as Cooper, but, you know, kind of close to that and somewhere between Hilton and Cooper, but a little bit closer to Cooper on that line.
Yeah,
is that-
yeah. I mean, Cooper's the best one. I thought Jeffrey was great in that game.
He was great for a half.
Yeah. I don't know if we have a next Wash cut on that. They, you know, at least him saying publicly, doesn't seem like they seem like they're going to play more sides because I think they have a lot of respect for Fuller that maybe they don't want guys, you know, running all over the place, but maybe they're just making people guess a little bit. Because if I'm Houston, I prepare for the rookie following Hopkins.
I would think, right.
And maybe the Jags want to mix it up a little bit and just play sides.
No, they could. I mean, he followed Cooper, and that's when they had Crabtree on the other side. And well, so that's a much more established receiver than Will Fuller is in this league.
And that could play into it a little bit, is they made that decision, and Crabtree, they just went at him.
Yeah.
Maybe make the defense guess a little bit. And if Amukamara is not getting thrown at 15 times, and maybe it's 9 times, he can maybe be prepared to make a couple more plays.
Sure. One more cut here from Todd Walsh, talking about a guy that we get a lot of questions about. That is the second-year player, Dante Fowler Jr., and how he's been playing this year.
Dante played one of his better games last week. You know, he's fixing some fundamental stuff that we've been on him here for about the last 3 weeks. And you've seen him, you know, affect the quarterback real early, got him off the spot. We were able to get a pressure for a third down win. We just got to continue to stay on him to make sure he's working on the fundamentals. And when he does that, he's a good football player.
I think one thing they wanted Fowler to focus on last week is trust your strength. Trust your speed. Don't dance around and spin moves and leave your feet. Take yourself out of the play. So look, he had some more good rushes against Kansas City. They also dropped him on some zone pressures. But, you know, maybe he had a half sack. It was his first sack since getting 2 against San Diego way back in week 2. Maybe this will get him going.
All right. With that, now we turn our attention to the fan feedback spotlight. And it's a kind of a weird question to ask. It doesn't apply to everybody, certainly. But we asked today, if you already have tickets to the Jaguar game, we assume if you don't and you're getting some, you're going to go in the next few days, right? Or you wouldn't get them. But if you have tickets, what's your decision? Are you coming? You're not coming? Why or why not? Tony, what kind of feedback did we get today?
Here's what we got from Dave. Was not, but now I'm on the fence and leaning towards going. Think we may actually play a decent game. I don't know why. From Jagdog, we got, yes, because I'm DTWD. No Fairweather fan here. Hashtag make the Jags great again. From Aussie Jag, by staying away, I think the fans believe that this is the most glaring way that to show the powers that be we aren't happy with the product, but I couldn't stay away. He's actually coming to town here in a couple weeks to watch the Denver and Minnesota games. From Duval Doom, always and forever because I can't quit this team. From Jarrell, don't have one, don't want one. Have other plans, but the DVR is set. From Brent, no, between the bad play and players attacking fans on how they fan, I'm sitting this one out. From Black Dog Express, passed on tickets because I'm on call Saturday and Sunday, but wanted to go because I believe we're going to win. From Bethany, no, the team is playing terribly and the players have created a serious issue with the fans. From Rusty, of course, I only get 9 days a year to celebrate my Duval privilege. We're blessed. And from Thomas, attending the game to spend time with tailgating dad and brothers. And who knows, maybe a surprise win? There we go.
All right.
I liked some of those answers. I would have killed to have an NFL team in my town as a kid growing up. And I would have went to every game. I would have been pissed off when they lost. I would have booed them when they blew out field. But I would have went to the game because it's NFL.
You know what it's like?
How far away was the NFL from where you were?
3.5 hours, and I bet before I started covering this league, I had probably gone to 8 to 10 games in the first 29 years of my life. I'd go.
There you go. I had been to very few before the Jags moved to town. You know, it's kind of like, to me, if you're dissatisfied with your candidate that your party has put forward, whatever party, and you're like, not going to do it, not going to do it. I'm going to protest or I'm going to vote for the other party. And then you get in the booth and kind of like, I'm going to vote for the way I usually. You know what? I mean, I think a lot of Jaguar fans are like, I'm not trying to belittle any of them. I understand their frustrations. And if you choose to stay home, that's your prerogative, man. I'm not going to blast you for that. You paid for your ticket. Do whatever you like with it. But I think in the end, some people will be like, what else are we going to do this Sunday? Come on. We're Jaguar fans. There are only so many games, and let's go see them knock off the Houston Texans. Oh, let's hope that they do. I hope they get a great turnout. I'll check, as I mentioned earlier, with my wife. We get season tickets more just to support the team. We make sure somebody uses them every week. I don't have mine spoken for this week, so if my wife is not planning on taking my son on Sunday, check me out. I might hit up, do something on social media. I'll give away a pair of tickets. They're pretty decent seats, so if you don't have them, maybe you'll fall into a pair with me later on this afternoon or evening. So check it out on Twitter at MD_1010XL. And on
you could
the,
sell them to
today,
cover
Facebook
your Verizon
page.
Bill.
I could literally, my bill was last month, or they claim it is not only $8.95, it's $8.95 and a penny, a single penny, right? So what percent? I don't even want to ask what percentage of that I could recoup on that. But that it's an idea nonetheless. Howard, what do we got coming up in the TU in the next few days?
Tomorrow we have my Friday Four Downs, and also Phil Pyleman writes about the Hopkins-Ramsey matchup. Marquise Lee on Saturday. And then Sunday, what I'm looking at right now is the last eight games being a referendum for who gets extensions.
Players and
coach. Players only.
Just players. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. All right, Ryan, good stuff, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
At Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter, and, of course, in the pages of the Florida Times-Union, you can read his Jaguar report. And currently still number two on the Jaguar Weekly host rankings. we haven't done another one, so for all I know, maybe there's been a groundswell.
We should just stick with it then.
Yeah, you know what? We got, you know, Loggeman's got the plurality, but maybe we need to narrow the field.
Number
I don't know.
Two.
And see. There we go. All right, there he goes, Ryan O'Halloran, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and for Joe Fortunato, and for every cellular company out there that doesn't screw over its customers like Verizon does. I am Mike Dempsey signing off. Thanks to all of our great sponsors out there today, and we'll say hello to the boys of the Midday Chalk. They're coming up in a few minutes right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods, Dandy Sandwiches and Subs, a company I absolutely believe in. Look, I was a loyal Dandy user, customer of theirs for probably going back about 25 years. It's funny when one of the sales reps at 1010XL said, hey, we've got a local sandwich company that sells a product in convenience stores, and they're looking for an endorser. I said, well, you mean like Dandy? Seriously, that's what happened, because I had been eating Dandy sandwiches for a quarter century, and with good reason. They're delicious. They're always fresh. They're reasonably priced. They're convenient. You find them in every Circle K and Kangaroo Express around here and anywhere where fine products are sold. That Dandy and the Anytime Deli line of sandwiches and subs, some classics that have been going now for over 60 years. They've got the new breakfast items. They've got the new light lunchtime wraps. So there's something for everybody in the Dandy line. You're hungry for food on the go. Don't waste your time in the drive-thru, folks. Do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy. Do it today, and I guarantee you're going to be satisfied.
You guys have a good day. Peace.